It is just to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then when you see your children, grandchildren serve the Lord and love God, it's beyond words to express. That's what Brother Mark was trying to say a while ago, and I can't say it either. All I can say is he's worthy. It's all because of the grace of God, goodness of the Lord. I praise him and thank him for his blessings upon us. God is so good. Turn your Bibles to Titus. Titus chapter number 2. Titus number 2. I'm trying to pick up on a message we've been doing for a couple of Wednesday nights. I started on it and cannot get away from it. And so felt compelled of God today to pick up on that thought. In Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. Let's stand, please. Titus 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads, please, for a moment of prayer. Father, just want to say thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you, Lord, today for the privilege that we've had to enjoy the singing, worship you in praise. Thank you, God, for all the songs have been sung, testimonies given, sweet spirit that has prevailed. Lord, thank you for a young couple who want to raise their child for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word that we just read. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are the Lord and Savior of all that will come and believe. I pray today that those that know not the Lord Jesus Christ will get under conviction and have that desire and that drawing power of the Holy Spirit to come and to be saved. I pray for those who may need help in their spiritual life, whatever it is, that you deal with them and help them. Father, touch hearts and lives, magnify yourself and get glory. And I want to thank you and praise you for all the blessings that you've given to us. God, you have been so good beyond measure. I'm thinking back now as a child, and Lord, thank you for a godly heritage. And thank you today we can stand here in this place, preach the word of God. I give you glory and praise. You know the problems of our country. You know the world situation. But God, we're glad today's a God in heaven has everything under control, and we trust you and believe you and leave it in your hands and say, help us in this service to worship and adore in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Oh. Just have to pardon me and bear with me. I got the crying and can't stop. That's all right, though. I'm not ashamed of that. As we look at this today, let me try to bring you up to date just a little bit for the sake of those who have just come in today and have not been in the prayer meeting services for the past 2 weeks. You may be visiting with us. You may I've been out for some reason, not able to come on Wednesday nights. But if you'll notice in verse number 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. We picked up on that word grace, and I'm trying to share with you seven things that grace does. And as the more I think about it and study on it, better it gets. And I pray that God will help me to share that with you so that you may grasp that great truth. Let me say about grace again. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is getting something that you do not deserve. And somebody said grace, G-R-A-C-E, and stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's one way of putting it. Put it in whatever words you want to. Grace is that amazing part of God that gives us that we don't deserve. Comes to it, helps us, and we deserve nothing, but he helps us. I'm glad, thank God. I talked about grace brings salvation. And I'm glad that's what grace does, bring salvation. Wasn't for the grace of God, fact is, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't even be in the house of God this morning. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't even be breathing this morning. It's a grace of God. If it were not for the grace of God, you'd be in hell already. But the grace of God has brought you to the house of God. You that are saved, it's grace that brought you salvation and taking you to hell. It's grace. I'm glad for the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Then we talked about the grace at schools. And verse number 12 says, teaching us. And so we talked about that schools us. And we have a textbook, the Word of God. We have a teacher, which is the Holy Spirit of God. And we have students, which ought to be every saved person, to study the Word of God. And so the grace of God helps us. It's the grace of God that we have a Bible. If God wasn't gracious to us, you wouldn't even have a copy of the Word of God. His grace brought that to you. You didn't deserve that, but the grace of God. And so grace brought us the Word of God, and we're glad for that grace. Teaching us. Now, I want to pick up on separation for just a few minutes, and then we'll go to something else that I want to deal with here this morning, if God will help me get this done today. But look in verse number 12, rather. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Here's a negative side of separation. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Ungodliness. Somebody said, what is ungodliness? Ungodliness is anything that does not honor the one that died for us and gave his life for us. If it doesn't honor God, it's ungodly. And so he said, denying ungodliness. Now you could carry that out and make a great exposition on it if you wanted to and spend a lot of time with it. But I think most of us understand what ungodliness is. It's the opposite of godliness. And so it's ungodly. Anything that does not glorify him and give him the knowledge or the acknowledgement that he needs, it's ungodly. If we sit down and we eat and we don't give him thanks for it, it's ungodly. And because we need to always glorify him and honor him and give him glory for that we have and what he does for us. So carry that out into all facets of your life. And he's teaching the grace of God that bringeth salvation. He's teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. I want to park here just for a few minutes and talk about worldly lust. Because the word world is used different manners in the Word of God. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I'm glad God loved the world. That means he loves all the people that's in the world. And then the world can mean the earth, or it can mean the cosmos, or it means a world system. And so you take it in context of what he's talking about. And here he said, denying the godliness and worldly lust. Worldly lust is that we desire physically that's not right in the sight of God. Let me put it this way. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so we know the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so you need to understand that the world here, worldly lust, he's talking about that's not right. We are literally bombarded today with worldly lust. It's on every hand. It is promoted by the papers, by the TV, by radio, by billboards, by signs you see on buildings and everywhere, ungodliness and worldly lust. It is an appeal. Somebody said, put it like this. And those three things that's mentioned said, worldly lust has to do with youth and the lust of the youth when you're young. And then that the lust of the eyes has to do with things after getting middle age, beginning to look around and see things. And then the pride of life is as you get older and you think about that. But let me say this, that can be true. That probably is true to a great extent. But it also means it can be true no matter how old you are. It can be worldly lust. It doesn't make any difference how young you are, how old you are, or in between there. The world can have an appeal. This flesh is ungodly. Hey, ain't nothing good about you outside of what God did for you on the inside. What God birthed on the inside that's of God. That's the only good thing about you. And your flesh is just as lustful as anybody else's flesh unless God the Holy Ghost helps you keep it under control. Amen. That's why it's so important that young people, as they go together, as they keep the right distance and the right thoughts in their minds, because I want you to know, I don't care how saved you are, you can be tempted and the lust of the flesh will come to play in that. Amen. Good preaching, preacher. Preach on. And we need to understand that truth. And it's a reality, and I pray that God help our young folk. But God needs to help older folk too, because the same flesh still works, amen. And as you grow older, and you have to deal with that. And so he said, he's teaching us to deny, and that's the grace of God. It's teaching us to deny God and worldly lust, and that we should, now here comes the positive side of it, we should live godly, as soberly and godly in this present world. Now soberly means temperate. And we ought to live as bring our body in subjection. And Paul said that he brings his body under in subjection because else after he preached to others, he himself should be a castaway. He said, it's possible that I be a preacher and that I preach the truth and I declare the truth. And then if I don't keep my body in subjection and bring it under subjection with God's help and by his grace, and die daily to self, he said one place. Another time he said, I'm crucified with Christ, bringing his body in. He said, else when I preach to others, I'd be a castaway, a put on the shelf, and not usable anymore. I want to say today, there's a lot of folk been saved, born again, but then they're put on the shelf and cannot be used of God. Let me say this to you. If you'll get right with God, let God help you, you can be used of God somewhere, somehow. But maybe not in the same capacity you could have been had not been for the sin that came in your life. Amen. Y'all still with me? Amen. I'm the old school, come out of the old school, and thank God for it. Amen. I believe what the Bible says, believe what God said in his word, and God help us live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Righteously is the right kind of relationship with others. Living righteously, as well as being right with God, right with others, and living a life that brings glory to God. And he said here, living soberly, righteously, and godly. He said, deny ungodliness and live godly. And so living godly is the very opposite of being ungodly. And so he said, we ought to be godly, not ungodly. And we ought to live soberly and righteously, not worldly, not the world us, and all that kind of stuff. But live like God wants us to live. You say, preacher, now here it's Sunday morning, you're preaching all this negative stuff. Hey, I'm not preaching negative stuff. I'm preaching good stuff. I'm preaching how to help you, amen. How to help you live like God wants you to live and bring glory to him. And by the way, you're created for his glory. That's why you're here. And you're here to magnify him, glorify him. And he's telling us how here in verse number 12. And he's giving us this, the grace of God. He's teaching us this. If it wasn't for the grace of God, you wouldn't have the word of God to teach you how to live and what we ought to be doing, how to deny ungodliness, worldly lust, and live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Now, y'all still with me? I believe that people that are saved by the grace of God ought to live like they're saved. Amen. You ought not to live like the world and have all the other stuff. Some people come to church on Sunday morning and they put on the veneer. It's like putting on a change of clothes. And they come in and want to look godly and want to act godly. And then as soon as they get out of church, they ought to be drinking a beer or going somewhere where they ought not be going, or or cussing. And somebody talking about one time this fellow was a cussing, and somebody went by his house and heard him cussing. Somebody asked the child, said, "What was your dad?" I said, "Upset about it. I heard him in there this morning cussing and carrying on. Said he couldn't find his Bible and was going to be late for church." That's how some people are, amen. Some people come to church and they're just about cussing each other when they drive in the parking lot and get out and act holy. Everything's hunky-dory, amen. Don't want the preacher to see him. Don't want other people to see him, and everything's fine. You know, amen, that's good. But I tell you what, we'll all be the same, amen. And be godly at home, godly here, godly everywhere we go, and live for him and bring glory to him and act like, hey, live like you're saved, amen. You're not saved by how you live, but you sure ought to live like you know you're saved. You ought to have a testimony, amen, and a grace of God working in your heart, and every once in a while get tore up about it and just praise his holy name. I say glory to God. I'm glad I'm saved, saved, saved. You saved today. If you are, you're saved by the grace of God. And if you have a word of God, it's because God's grace is working in your heart. God's grace is working today, teaching you and helping you and know how to live and live for the Lord. We're living in a generation that sin has become something else. But sin's still sinful in the sight of a holy God. It'd do us good if sin become exceedingly sinful to our hearts again. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And may God help us have right attitudes, right thoughts, and right actions, and that we may live godly in this day. But now, I want to show you something else here that grace does. Grace not only brings salvation, grace not only schools, grace not only separates, but grace satisfies. Hallelujah. And I couldn't wait to get here. Amen. Look at verse number 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to know, thank God, it's satisfied. The grace of God satisfied. Jesus coming back to get me. Not because I deserve to go, not because I deserve to be changed and had a new body, but by the grace of God, he's going to do that. I say today, praise God for the real truth of the coming of Christ. Amen. I can't help but tell this. Told to me yesterday, I won't call any names because I just won't tell any name. But they were talking to me and talking about being at work and talking about what's happening. North Korea bombarded, anyway, shot over artillery or something, South Korean island, and it looks bad. I'm not downplaying that. It looks bad as you look at Korea and the world itself. And this person was talking to somebody at work, and they were talking about that being so bad. And one sitting here in church today had said to the one that was upset about it, said, well, talking about what's going to happen, that one was saying the world's coming to an end. It looks so bad. Everything's so gloomy. And the other one sitting here today said, well, I won't be here. And the other one looked at it and said, why? Why won't you be here? Where are you going, to Canada? Said, no, I'm going in the rapture. Amen. Amen. Hey, wasn't talking about leaving the country. Wasn't talking about going to somewhere else in the world. Wasn't talking about that. Was simply talking about it's a shaping up for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say today, friend, I am concerned about our country. I'm concerned about the world. I'm concerned about the situation. But I want you to know what I got my eye toward heaven, because I know that Jesus said, if I go away, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And Jesus Christ is coming again. And the grace of God satisfy. Why does that satisfy you about the coming of Jesus, looking for that blessed hope? Blessed hope, glorious appearing of the great God. Now, why is that so satisfying? Number one, I'm glad you asked me, because I wanted to tell you anyhow. Number one, I shall see him that loved me and gave himself for me. I have never literally looked upon him. I have never literally seen him. I remember one time well-known evangelist in America, I was off on his doctrine, but he said he had a vision of a 900-foot Jesus. How don't you know my Jesus is better than 900 feet? He inhabits eternity. He's everywhere. Hallelujah. Amen. Lives in my heart. Lives in your heart. I say glory to God, better than 900 foot. Amen. But anyway, I shall see him. I've never literally seen him down here in bodily form, physical form, but someday I shall. The psalmist David put it like this in Psalm 17:15. He said, but I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, I'll be satisfied. And I'm satisfied now by the grace of God, because I know I shall see him. One day I shall. You remember what Job said in Job 19:25, verse there and following? He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, and whom I shall see for myself and not another. And I say, praise God, I'm glad I'm going to see him. 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we're the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall see him. Hallelujah. We'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I say, hallelujah. Don't that excite your soul to know you're going to see him? Amen. You're going to literally get to see the one that died for you. You remember when Thomas said, I'll not believe unless I put my fingers in the nail prints, thrust my hand inside. When Jesus did appear, Jesus, I believe, held out his hand and said, Thomas, thrust your finger in my nail prints and thrust your hand in my side. I believe there'll be a day, Brother Jimmy, I'll see the nail prints in his hands. I believe there'll be a day I'll see him that loved me so much that he gave himself for my, made my sin, went to Calvary for my sin, took my place, paid my price. I shall see him. I shall see him. Hey, today, if some celebrity was coming by and you could get a glimpse of them, and you think about that, your heart would be with joy and all that stuff. Hey, the Queen of England come by, President could come by, anybody else could come by. That's nothing. I'm going to go see him that loved me and gave himself for me. I say glory, hallelujah. I'm glad for the grace of God that brought salvation, that schooling me, that separating me. I'm glad, thank God, I'm going to see him. That's all by the grace of God. That's what grace does, amen. Grace does all of that. I say hallelujah, aren't you glad for the grace of God? Let me say also about this thing about looking for that blessed hope. Glory's appearing, why? Why is that so glory? Why are you so wonderful about the grace of God about that? I not only see him, but there will be no more sin. Hallelujah. No more sin. Aren't you glad for that? I say praise God. In Revelation 21:27, said there shall in no wise enter thing. There, talking about heaven now, talking about the city, talking about that place we're going to. And by the way, we are headed, if you're saved, you're headed to a country. You're headed to a new city. You're headed to a new place. And glory to God, it's a wonderful place. But he said in verse 27, thou shalt in no wise enter into anything that defileth, nor whatsoever worketh abomination, or that maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. And hallelujah, my name's written in the Lamb's book of life. There'll be no defiling of that place. There'll be no abomination worked in that place. And there's not going to be any liars in that place. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad I'm headed to heaven. I'm glad for the grace of God. I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve to be there. But I thank God for the privilege to go. Amen. And be in that wonderful place called heaven. Aren't you glad you're going? Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? I've seen my name on a few signs here and there where I preach, but most of them spelled it wrong. They don't know how to spell Stewart. They spell it S-T-E-W-A-R-T. Now, if there's any of y'all here like that, I'm not knocking you. I'm just telling you, the way y'all spell it is S-T-U-A-R-T. Amen. I think we all came from the same place, and they probably had a falling out, and somebody spelled it some way and some other. I think my side of the family has kind of got in trouble and got hung or something. And others started spelling it a different way, but I've never seen my license, my name in law. I've never seen it on the front page of the newspaper. I've never seen it anywhere like that. But I'll tell you where I have seen it. I hadn't seen it, but I know where it is, put it that way. It's in glory, inscribed in the Lamb's book of life. And when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Hallelujah. Will you? Right there. Amen. I'll be there because my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I say hallelujah. I'll tell you something else about that. Well, I'm so glad for the grace of God to bring salvation and schools me and separates me. And thank God the second coming's real satisfies me with all that is because there'll be no more sickness. How wonderful. Nor death. Revelation 21 verse 4. God said that he should wipe away all tears from our eyes. There'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Thank God, Brother Smiley just waved at me. And there'll be no more dialysis to take. There'll be no more pains in your back. There'll be no more aches at all. There'll be no more crippledness. There'll be no more sorrow, sickness. You say, preacher, is it really going to be a place like that? When Jesus comes and we get glorified bodies, resurrected like unto him, and see him as he is, be like him. The Bible said, be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I say glory, hallelujah. The day we sit here and we're in these old clay bodies and we're sitting here and some of us are saved, some not saved. If you're saved and think about a glorified body and think about going to heaven and think about all the glories that you'll see and see him, that's enough to make you want to say praise God and the Lamb forever. Amen. How good that is. How good that is. But if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus, then you can't go. You'll be left here. You say, preacher, what's the alternative? They're going to heaven. The alternative is going to hell. The alternative is there's no in between. It's either heaven or hell. If you're not saved, you can't go. But I'm glad to report to you today the grace of God came for all men. Back to our text in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God, that unmerited favor, is working right here today to help you come to Christ so you can be saved. The grace of God will save you if you'll come and trust him. Thank God for his amazing grace. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, just want to thank you for grace. How amazing, how wonderful, how thrilling it is to know the grace of God. Lord, then there are those here today that know not that grace. They're not saved. They're not ready to go. They're lost. And Father, I pray the Holy Spirit brings such conviction to them that they'd want the grace of God to work in their hearts so they could be saved. Lord, may they come today, not to me, not just to an altar, not just a wooden carpet, but may they come to a place where they give their heart and their life to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Recognize they're sinners, but that Jesus Christ died to save them, forgive them, and cleanse them, and birth them in the family of God. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to know the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Thank you for the grace of God that schools us and helps us, teaches us. Then thank you for the separation that you bring to us so that we can live our lives with the blessing of God upon them. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the satisfaction of knowing that Jesus is coming back to get us and give us a glorified body. We shall see him and go to a place where there'll be no sin, no sickness, no death. I thank you and I praise you. Now, Father, in this house, have your way. Help those who are saved and they realize they need to come for whatever reason to pray for somebody. Ask forgiveness in something in their life, something you're dealing with them about, something, God, you've touched their hearts with, or they just need to come and pray. Lord, whatever the need is, but help the unsaved to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand, please, and while we sing, you come, you obey God. If you need help, you get my attention. Jesus is coming back, by the way, just any day now.